We're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
But thanks be unto God. Being Baptist, he had a little bit more reverence for the word than some folks. His mama said, "Why do you think you're here?" He said, "The Bible said so. The Bible said so." And he quoted the scripture. But she said, "You're not any better. He must not have prayed the prayer of faith." But being, you know, Baptists know about faith for salvation. He said, "The very fact that we acted on the word of God is faith."
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagen. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagen on his classic teaching, How to Possess the Land, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagen for today's message.
Their daddy died when they were just small, and these two boys in my church, they didn't get any education. In fact, one of them, after he had married, had two daughters, the daughters grown, they taught him at least to write his name. But their younger brother, they saw to it that he got an education. He graduated from high school. They owned the farm, and so they ran the farm. They put him through college. Then he felt like God called him to preach, so they put him through seminary, paid for it. He graduated from seminary. He went on and eventually got his doctor's degree. He was one of the leading Baptist evangelists in America. He'd hold citywide meetings in Atlanta, Georgia, Kansas City, St. Louis, and other large cities. All the first churches would cooperate with him in these large meetings. He said that there in California, he lived in California, and he said he attended a little home prayer meeting, and these folks had received this experience. They'd come on over into Canaan's land, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to see it. And he began to, because all they knew to do, there's no preacher involved, just people, and except him, he's a preacher, but he couldn't lead anybody into it. But they were all tarrying and waiting and praying, and some of them had got filled and some of them hadn't. And he began to pray and seek for this experience. And he said the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he began to stammer and speak a little bit in tongues. But then, you see, he just got over into the edge of Canaan's land, and he began to see the enemies that's there. First, he said, "I began to think, now what's this going to do with me and my denomination? They're not going to accept this. What's this going to do to me and my finances? Because then my finances will be cut off." He owned a home, paid for, in Beverly Hills, California. Be worth today probably $2 or $3 million, same house, maybe more. He owned one of those 12-cylinder Lincolns. He had a library that was worth over $50,000. That's way back yonder, you know, when money wasn't money like it is now. He had thousands of dollars in a saving account. He got to thinking about that. What's this going to do to my reputation? He got to thinking about that. And of course, the anointing left him. And he looked around, he said, and everybody was praying, so he got up and slipped out. Whew, boy, man, I almost got into it. I'd have been turned out. They wouldn't cooperate with me on these citywide meetings. My money would have been cut off. My reputation would have been ruined. To get in with these, they called them tongue talkers and holler rollers in those days. And so he went on, you know, preaching. And he was holding a meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, in the city auditorium. All of the first churches of the city sponsored his meeting. And right in the middle of the meeting, he got sick and couldn't carry it on. And for 2 years, he couldn't preach a sermon. He went to doctors all over, everywhere, even in Europe. Finally wound up at the great Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. They couldn't find out what's wrong with him. None of them could. Some of them said it was this. Some of them said it was something else. After 2 years' time, you see, no other income, not preaching, sold his house, sold his automobile, sold most of his library, All of his thousands of dollars on savings are gone. It's all gone. He spent it all on medicine, on doctors all over the world. And he wound up in the city county hospital in Los Angeles, California, a charity case. Doctor said he's died. One of his brothers lived there in California. He didn't have any education either. He's just a day laborer. In fact, he'd been digging some ditches. He said to his brother, loan me enough money. I don't have anything left. It's all gone. Loan me enough money to get a train ticket. You traveled by train back in those days. To get a train ticket to get back to Texas. I want to see my mother. She is 84 years old. She can't come here. She's still out there on the same old farm place in Westminster, Texas. And said, and his brother said, I just don't have that kind of money. Didn't take too much in those days to get a train ticket. But he said, I don't have that kind of money. Well, finally he persuaded his brother to put some in what he did have and borrow the rest of it. And bought him a train ticket. Doctor said, no, you can't go, you'd die. You can't make the trip. He said, my dear old mother's 84 years old. Before I die, I want to see her and tell her goodbye. Finally, the doctor was persuaded. He said, well, we'll put you on the train. He's a stretcher case. And we'll give you some shots and teach you how to give you shots. Maybe you'll get there. Well, some way or another, he made it. Came in there to the old depot in McKinney, my home. Ambulance picked him up, carried him out there about 15 miles from McKinney in the country in Collin County to a little community called Westminster. Out there in the old home place, the old farm place. He's bedfast. The mother, 84 years old, she can't see after him, but there was a 19-year-old boy lived with her to see after her. Somebody else ran the farm, still farmed it. So this 19-year-old boy became this great Baptist preacher's nursemaid. He had to turn him. He had to bathe it. Man can't eat it. He hadn't had anything to eat except a little baby food, some raw eggs and some milk, and he couldn't keep that on his stomach. And so finally, this boy said to him, this 19-year-old boy said to him, he said, Doctor, why don't you let the Lord heal you? He said, what do you mean, let the Lord heal you? Well, he said, James 5:14 said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anoint all in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he shall be forgiven him. And this great doctor of divinity, world-renowned, world-traveled preacher, said, is that in the Bible? Sure, he said, it's in the Bible. James 5:14. Well, he said, I'd been there for several weeks and hadn't even read the Bible. Get my Bible out of the trunk there. So the boy got his Bible out of the trunk. And he said, well, find that for me and read it to him. The boy said, I can't read. Well, he said, how do you know it's in the Bible? Well, he said, my pastor preached on it last Sunday. That was his text. Well, he said, hand it here and let me find it. And so he found James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. See, that's part of Canaan's land. That's part of our blessing. Amen. And so this great Baptist preacher read that. He said, you say your pastor preached on it? Said, yeah. Then what did he do after he preached on it? Said, he anointed people with oil and laid hands on him. He said, you mean he practices that? He said, yeah. Well, he said, get me out of here and get me over to the meeting. And so one of the brothers that was in my church, he brought his old T-model Ford and picked him up and carried him because he's helpless like a baby. Made a bed in the back seat of that old T-model touring car. Put him in that back seat. Drove up to an old brush arbor. He thought he was going to church. That's the only church they had, was a brush arbor. They were hoping before wintertime to get something up where they could get in out of the cold. Drove up as close as they could. And he heard the fella preach. And then, because they told him he was there, he came out where he was, anointed with oil, and prayed. They carried him home. His brother picked him up, carried him in and put him in the bed because he's still helpless. And they got back. They had long service, then Pentecostal, you know. And he got back home about midnight. And he said, Mama, he hadn't had a bite of solid food for 2 years. Food that he ate, most of it couldn't keep on his stomach. He said, Mama, send this young man, whatever his name was, out to the old smokehouse and get a ham. Cut me a big slice of it, make me some good old country biscuits and gravy, I'm going to have a midnight supper. The Lord has healed me. His mama said, now, son, because she's still Baptist, you see. Said, now, son, you know what you're doing. You don't look any better. You feel any different? No, he said, I don't feel any different. But what makes you think the Lord healed you? He said, I know he did. And how do you know he did? See, there's all kind of enemies to try to keep you out of the blessings. Amen. All kind of enemies to try to keep you from being healed. Amen. Don't you know all the doctors? I mean, doctors in Europe, all the best doctors in America, having spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. Back there then, when money was money. And they can't do a thing. All these things are against you. All these giants have got you whipped. You can't get into healing. But thanks be unto God. Being Baptist, he had a little bit more reverence for the word than some folks. His mama said, why do you think you're healed? He said, the Bible said so. The Bible said so. And he quoted the scripture. But she said, you're not any better. He must not have prayed the prayer of faith. But being, you know, Baptists know about faith for salvation. He said, the very fact that we acted on the word of God is faith. I acted in faith and he acted in faith. So I'm healed. She said, I thought, well, the poor fellow's going to die anyway. So I'll cook him his meal. And like the fellow that's going to be executed, you know, give him that last meal. Whatever you want, that's what he wants. And if he dies, she said, at least I can be happy in that I was able to feed him and he ate mama's meal. So she went back in those days, old wood cook stove. Cut that ham. Made those biscuits, not these little old canned biscuits, you know. Blessed God. I mean them big old biscuits like they used to make. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like Granny used to make. Amen.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's CD entitled The Secret to My Success. We're also offering Lynette Hagin's Seed Thoughts Devotional. Last but not least is Kenneth W. Hagin's book entitled Expect. All these items at the special price of $25. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Well, one of the things that I just want you to know is that we keep our tuition very, very low.
Yes.
$3,150, I believe it is, for a student to train here on
and
a year.
And that includes books and
general
activity fees, all kinds of things.
But that only covers 30% of what it costs to train a student. And so the other 70% is made up by this day, International Rhema Day, by our monthly word partners that help, by our events. That's how we cover
And our 70%. Living Faith conferences, we have one day that is Rhema Day, and we take the offering and it come back to help the
That's
students.
Right.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, How to Possess the Land. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.